What was tonight? To look at Romans chapter 12. A word to each one of us as we celebrate the occasion, the 4th of July. The law says not to be using those fireworks. So if you have any and you're going to use them anyway, be careful. I've seen some things lately where people were using fireworks, and I don't know if they didn't know how to handle them or what, but they got hurt. So, you know, be careful. I'd like to read this entire chapter. Seems that not long ago we touched on some of the things here, but you know, the Christian life and living this new life that we have in Christ carries with it a lot of responsibility. I think we mention this frequently, and it needs to be mentioned. I think there's still a false concept concerning this matter of God's salvation coming into the family of God, that's the beginning and that's the end. Just get in, you're safe, you're secure, and that's it. Well, if you read the book, you find out it's a far more involved than just getting in. Getting in is very, very important. Being safe and secure in Christ is something you can rejoice in every day you live if you're saved. But believe me, we were saved for a purpose. Through the calling of the gospel, that response to that divine invitation, it carries with it in the mind of God plans and purposes for each one of us, forever saving us. So as we read this and as we look at these verses tonight, I trust that it will deepen our understanding of what the Christian life is all about and serving Him. Verse 1 of chapter 12 in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaching, teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we have before us the Word of God. We need to be guided and directed by the Spirit of God. This is the sword of the Spirit that we have before us. Its penetrating power, all that it can do to motivate each one of us to a deeper sense of our importance as members of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, impress upon our hearts. Have each one of us think of ourselves as being called of thee, not just to escape the judgment and the wrath of God, but to glorify thee, Lord, on the face of the earth, to serve thee, to demonstrate every day that deep sense of gratitude for allowing us into your family. And each one of us entrusted with responsibility to tell forth the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his holy name, we ask this, giving thanks. We know if you have a car and you want it to function properly. I had an uncle that I have so many thoughts concerning him and how his life kind of revolved around cars, used cars. I don't think he ever bought a new car. It's always a used car. He always got a good deal. One, he said one time, he said, I've had some cars that used oil, but he said this last one I got, I believe it was worse than any I'd ever had. The only one I ever had that I had to get up at night and go out there and put a quart of oil in it. You could tell when he was happy about how his car performed. He wanted it to hit on all four cylinders, six or eight, whatever the thing was. And he could tell you. He said, boy, she's not running right. He talked about his cars always in that feminine gender. She's just not doing right. Well, I think that we have something akin to that in our performance as believers in the body of Christ. The sad thing that you would have a company of God's people, and maybe there would be only a very small number of that group that contributed or did anything outside of just showing up and putting an appearance when there were meetings. I do thank God for everyone that's involved in this fellowship that we are a part of here at Northgate. I do believe this, and we read about it, and we'll touch upon it a little more. Every believer has been sovereignly gifted of God to make a contribution within the body. Every one of us, some are multi-gifted. Some have more than one spiritual gift. You know, God is the one that makes that judgment as to what we can handle and what we can do. And you know that, to be aware that He's working in our lives, it should indeed excite us. I did something today for God. God's people benefited from it, but I did it as unto the Lord. And I'm excited about that. God is using me. I have the spiritual gift. I'm able to do certain things, and I'm doing it. Paul starts this 12th chapter off with a verse that is used to impress upon us how important it is to dedicate, to consecrate ourselves, and to be sure that spiritually we're not holding back anything. When he says that he wants us, by the mercy of God, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, I think I mentioned this morning, I mean, that means all. You know, a lot of people will give a lot of things, but so often he said, you know, I don't have any time for what you suggest doing. All of my time is taken up. I'm a busy person. My business is very demanding. Well, I thought our chief purpose was to glorify God, and I know you can do it in those endeavors in which you are following a career. You have business interests, and we're already reminded in what we've read here that indeed we're supposed to be diligent in those pursuits. But that should never, for a moment, take away what each one of us in our own hearts have done in that, Lord, here am I, use me. Whatever I can do, order to thyself and for your glory, let me do it. I don't want to have anything hidden from my understanding. You know, a lot of people have told me when we were discussing this that I think sometimes God's people are very clever, and they said, I didn't know he said that. I didn't know that. Well, ignorance is no excuse. Paul says that to the Corinthians, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And indeed, ignorance is no excuse. I think our brother Mark so often challenges us and tells us, you know, what I learned from the Word of God. Here's a man with a background in religion, like, you know what he has shared with us about it, but he knew all about religion, but he didn't know anything about the Lord, and he didn't know anything about God's plans and purposes. But the Spirit of God, who is our teacher, he took this book, the Word of God, and he began to read it. And the Spirit of God began to give enlightenment. He began to see things in the Word of God. Oh, brother and sister, I'm not going to plead ignorant. I'd be ashamed to say, well, I really didn't know that. Well, you didn't. You've been saved for all those years, and you still don't know that? Well, God knows what we're willing to do. That person that says, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Or, you know, the Lord knows you wouldn't do it if he revealed it to you. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's not a matter of not knowing. Oh, I know what to do. Oh, I know what to do. I know all this teaching about spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. But so far, I've been able to very cleverly avoid doing it. Don't fool yourself. Other people know you're not doing it either. And please don't say, I don't have any spiritual gift. I don't have any spiritual gift. All members in the body of Christ are gifted. Members of a body. You wouldn't say concerning this physical body of yours, I can't think of anything, any contribution that little toe on my right foot contributes to the body. Well, you might be surprised. If you cut that toe off, you might be surprised. You did a whole lot better with it than you did without it. There is no excuse. The teaching is clear. We're members of his body. He has great expectations of every one of us. So, I'd like for us to think beyond verses 1 and 2, consecration, dedication, true. That's all important. I think about serving God, you know, it's by the mercy of God. He does know what we're capable of doing, doesn't he? He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. That can be frightening. When you realize that you're holding back, you're not giving your best, and you're convinced nobody else knows anything about it. They may not, but God knows. Doesn't that frighten you a little bit? Lord, I'm a hypocrite. I could do a whole lot better than I'm doing. I just won't do it. You may even have cooked up some reasons, and you've told the Lord why it is that I don't contribute. I don't exercise my gift. God knows all about it. And indeed, that should be a challenge in itself. As I said, once we've gotten beyond that point of saying, I'm not going to be conformed to the ways of this world. I'm not going to let this world press me into its mold. I'm not going in the ways of the world, but I'm going to live this new life that I have in Christ. Be motivated by the Spirit of God that indwells me, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God. You know, there's a warning that comes when Paul gets on the subject of spiritual gifts. He said, don't be high-minded about it. I think it's very distressing. I can honestly say I don't believe I have ever met someone that had spiritual gift. It was recognizable. Good teacher of the Word of God. Someone that had good, sound judgment and discernment in interpreting what Scripture has to say and living it and challenging God's people and being a good shepherd and caring for God's people. I'm so thankful that I can't think of anyone I've ever met that I thought they were better than everybody else, that they thought they were so special that others didn't matter. But a warning is given. A warning is given. In fact, Scripture says we're supposed to think more highly of others than we do ourselves. I want to see you going on for God. I want to see you prospering in the things of God. I want to see you exercising yourself toward godliness in a way that indeed the people of God profit from your exercise of heart and what you do and what you contribute and the way you live. No room for high-mindedness. I would have to say that kind of spirit would be kind of disgusting, wouldn't it? I thank God that I haven't had any contact with that sort of thing, but Paul is giving a warning here. Learn how to handle being as special as you are. Learn how to handle it. I am gifted of God to do something special for God, and I know how to handle it. I'm humbled by this, but I will be diligent, and I will do my very best. As the Spirit of God empowers me, as the Spirit of God encourages me and guides and leads me, I will do my very best with what God has entrusted me with. That's all important. You know, the church at Corinth, there's something said at the very outset of that letter that he wrote to that church. And I think we said something here a while back, and someone told me they didn't think they would say that. The church at Corinth was characterized as being a carnal church. I said something about, you know, you could smell them. You could tell that something was wrong. There's something rotten in Denmark, so to speak. That was an old saying. You can detect. And that shouldn't be. But I'm reminded of this. In that church at Corinth, we're reminded at the very outset, it says, you come behind in no gift. Spiritual gifts. There was no lack of spiritual gifts in that carnal church, which is proof that we all are spiritually gifted. But how to use it for the glory of God is all important. And I don't think you'll get all of it by just listening to someone read and talk about these things. You need to apply yourself, brother and sister in Christ. You need to open up this book. You need to read what it has to say. Many members in one body. All members have not the same office or gift. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our minister, nor he that teacheth on teaching, and so forth. Well, we do it by faith, don't we? Faith is trusting God. You know, this might be an exalted thought, but you can have a sense of importance in knowing that I have done something for God, for God's glory. That was my motivation. I wanted to glorify God in my life. That's why I did it. Wonderful thing about it is he empowered me to do it. It's Christ working in and through me. This wonderful divine relationship that I have with God, he provides everything I need to exercise this gift. All I've got to do is yield. I think we were singing that song. He is the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me, Lord, as you so choose. I want to be something that's useful for God. I don't want to just occupy a pew. You know, I think that speaks of having limited yourself so much in doing something for the glory of God that we should be ashamed of it if that's all we think is important. Oh, I come regularly to the meetings, and I occupy my usual place where I sit. Oh, I love the fellowship of God's people. Then when we begin to get beyond that, things get just a little bit not very clear. What else do you do? Are you faithful in reading the Word of God? Study to show yourself approved before God. God uses people that know how to handle the instructions. You know, some people you can handle. You can give them instructions, books full of it, and say, here, do this job, put this together. Can't do it. Can't do it. But you know, with the Spirit of God guiding us, I don't think we'll run into any excuses. Or it may be hard at times. I'm not saying it's not hard. But if I search it out and I apply myself and I am honestly before God, desirous of bringing glory to his name, member of the body, I'm functioning. Like my old uncle used to say, boy, she's hitting on all cylinders. She's humming today. The body of Christ, every member making that contribution within the body, it's all important. Well, it also, Paul touches on something that I know is important. There's no doubt in my mind that the Apostle Paul had a lot of experiences with God's people, and not all of them were pleasant. You know, the amount of time that he spent in traveling and meeting people, he met all kinds of people. And we're all different, aren't we? We're all different. But we can all contribute. It's one thing God looks for in every one of our lives. He wants to see the Lord Jesus in you and me. That's what he wants to see. Can others see Christ in me? You know, when I read that passage that it says they took note of the fact that the disciples had been with the Lord Jesus. Brother and sister, you can't hide it. You've been with him and it'll leave a mark on you. It'll leave its mark on you. A good mark. Not something that's harmful. Sometimes some people treat learning things from the Word of God and practicing truth not very important. It's okay. I'm not kicking it. But it's not number one. Well, it ought to be number one. It ought to be number one. You were purchased with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God. And he ought to have top priority in our thinking. What he tells me to do, I do it. I do it. I'm an obedient follower of God. We do know that disobedience carries with it some very serious consequences because God hates disobedience. It's a sin to disobey God. I was just reading last week and there'd been quite a discussion about worry, anxiety, and people being gripped by this. And this man says, you know, a lot of people don't think it's a sin to worry. But it is. It is. Take no thought of what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and all the other things that are a part of life. Take no thought. You're wasting your time. Our God will provide all for us. You see, when we begin to get the right perspective on how things are to be carried out in our lives, you know, to get on track. Get on track. I'm on the beam. I'm coming home. Oh, there's a lot of fog and there's a lot of rain and bad weather, but you know, I still hear that old did-da, did-da, did-da. I'm coming home. And you're looking for that word that will tell you, we have you in sight. We have you in sight. Gear down and ready to land. That's out of my own experience back then, World War II. Well, this matter of a Christian and the things that are required of us, the things that are expected of us, becomes all important. And it covers these areas of service. It covers an area which sometimes we don't like to talk about. And that is relationship with other members in the body. You know, some of us have a lot of rough edges. And they have to be, we have to be polished. Sometimes it takes the experiences in life to sometimes take care of the rough edges and put us in condition so that we harmonize with others in that wonderful spirit of love. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. I want you to love others. I want you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ the same way I loved you and gave myself for you. You want other people to know that you're my disciples? Love one another. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and this is borne out in these closing verses in this passage. And we're supposed to understand that there's a way of handling situations in life sometimes that I think this is one of the real dangers of falling into that pit of saying everybody's doing, that's the way everybody handles this. There's an acceptable way and this is the way that they do it. But it's not according to the Word of God. Yes, that's the way the world does it. That's the way they handle that. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You've heard people say that. Oh boy, watch out. You hurt me and I'll hurt you. You don't hear too much about what we're about to read and what we're about to handle. And how we're supposed to handle it for the glory of God, but this passage says, recompense to no man evil for evil. You said, man, that just don't sound right. I know some people that are so mean and so contemptible and I'm not going to let them get by with it. Oh, you're not. You're not. You're going to go contrary to the word of God. You are a spiritual being. You are in a position before God in which you can have victory over the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. That's the flesh crying out, brother and sister. Don't you recognize it? You hit me and I'm going to hit you back. You hurt me and I'm going to hurt you. That's the flesh. And man, is it ever active? You know what the scriptures has to say about the works of the flesh as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Again, I'll mention this is not always easy, but he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You may have a neighbor. You may have someone that you're in almost daily contact with, and you say, I don't believe it's hardly possible to live beside that person and to have contact with that person and have it on a peaceable, quiet manner. That person just generates something that will bring out the worst in everybody. No, I didn't say it was easy. But don't you ever want to face challenge in a life and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to subdue him. I'm going to give you an illustration, give you a little story. I think it is a true blessing. True blessing. If you can apply the tenor of what this person demonstrated in their life. Basically, what the little story tells us is that you want to get rid of your enemies, make them your friends. Make them your friends. We don't ever think that way, do we? He's my enemy. I don't like him. He don't like me. We don't get along. We don't intend to get along. Never have got along and never will get along. And Satan said, boy, you on track. That's exactly what you should do. You want to get rid of your enemies? Make them your friends. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Doesn't that suffice? That one day when God draws the bottom line, he adds up everything that's a part of our lives. It's a time for reward. He said, you were a good and faithful servant. You know, the record here shows that you were faithful. And when you read something in my word, you obeyed it. You made an effort to carry out exactly the tenor of what was said in the Word of God. You didn't shy away from it. You didn't begin to make excuses. You didn't pull that old thing, it's too hard for me. I just don't understand it. Oh, you understand it. You understand it. I understand it. That poor son of this, I don't understand that. No. You just don't believe it. You don't believe it. You need to believe it. And when you believe it, the proof of it is you'll practice it. You'll practice what you say you really believe. I'm going to let God take care of that. Isn't that a wonderful attitude? Lord, I've done all I know to do. I'm going to leave the bottom line on this one with you. You take care of it. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm not able, Lord, but you are. That's how that turns out. I've used this verse that I'm about to read, these next two verses, a number of times in seeking by the grace of God to help some people that I'm telling you they really needed help. It says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I'll tell you what. The flesh will not like what we have just read. It will rebel. And again, I can bring up all those little cliches that people use. Use in some way to try to avoid doing what God has asked them to do. We think we're clever. We're not clever, brother and sister, when we don't obey the word of God. I can fool you and you can fool me, but you can't fool God. He's omniscient. He knows what's in this little mind of mine right now. Knows what's in yours. Knows what's in your heart. Knows what all of your excuses amount to for not doing his will. I told you about the little story. Let's close with this. This story is about a ruler. He's an emperor, according to the story. And he had been informed that his enemies had been rebelling. It was an insurrection. We don't want this man to rule over us anymore. They're in rebellion. They're making threats. He cries to come back and take control over this province or take control over my turf. There's going to be a battle. Well, when the emperor heard about this, he said to his company of followers and those who were going with him to face his adversaries, they'll march off to war, so they thought. He says, come follow me and we will quickly destroy them. Boy, that sounded to those soldiers and those men, man, I like the spirit of that. We're going to go get them. We'll teach them. We'll teach them how to rebel and how to try to cast off the kind of rule that this good master provides. Well, when they got there and faced the enemy, he didn't charge in and attack them. He became friendly with them. He went right up to them and began to talk and discuss things. And it wasn't long before they were very friendly toward each other. Well, those men that accompanied said, man, what are you doing? You said you were going to destroy them. He said, I did. I made them my friends. I destroyed them. I tore down everything that was in them that was opposed to me because I overwhelmed them with a sense of my love and kindness for them. Isn't that a beautiful story? I doubt if that's being practiced in many places, even in the lives of God's people today. I know how to destroy the enemy. I'll make him my friend. Are we the friends of God? Are we really God's friends? Let's do what he asks us to do. Let's don't be rebellious children. Oh, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. To the best of my ability. You know what I'm capable of doing. You won't entrust me to do something that I can't do. I know if you've given me something to do, you will provide the help that's needed to do it. After all, it's Christ in me, the power of God working mightily to glorify the name of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again tonight for the time together. For this passage of Scripture that we've read many times, Lord, we thank thee that we're able to come together and confess that it's just some possibility that some of us have perhaps become remiss in taking seriously what you have to say about these things. We want to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We don't want to be conformed to the ways of this world, pressed into its mold, and behave and act in a fashion that is not for your glory and honor. We're members of the body of Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God. Oh, I'm a member of his body. And what he dictates me to do in that body and how he would have me to function, Lord, lead and direct and empower that I might do it my very best and for your glory and honor. And recognizing that we live in a world in which standards are so different from what we find in the Word of God. Realizing that indeed we can handle things in this life that will baffle the world. Even our closest friends sometimes do not understand why it is we do what we do and when we do it. We're seeking to fulfill and carry out the mind and the will of God, the mind of Christ. Oh, when he suffered, he threatened not. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. But he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Oh, Lord, our times, our being is in your hands. Guide and direct us according to your will and for your glory and honor, we pray. Amen. We may have a hymn.